Hi, Knox. I'm Sydney Sheldahl, and this is a prayer for illumination that is based off my statement of faith. Let's pray. Loving God, you know our thoughts and feelings. You understand our pain, sadness, and anger, and even the emotions that aren't always something we can describe. Thank you for listening to us when we pray and for sharing wisdom with us through the Holy Spirit. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work in each godly and faithful individual. By the power of that Spirit, speak to us now through your word. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
A reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Listen for God's word to us. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Great to have Dale and Kathy Bruner in the house. I've told Dale this story before, but back in my home church in San Diego, I still remember a sermon he gave where he came up to read the scripture. And by the way, that was an impressive reading Reese just gave. That was probably the hardest scripture passage to read in the New Testament, at least up there, Marianne, wouldn't you say? She's shaking her head. Maybe not. What's a contender? What's a contender with that? Yes, the geographic names. That's all right. Fair enough. But I remember Dale reading, so when he was giving the scripture before this particular sermon, he had only with him the Greek New Testament. And then he would simply translate off the cuff as he read the scripture passage. And I remember seeing that and thinking, oh, that's really cool. I'd love to learn Greek one day. And lo and behold, went on to do it. And sometimes there are some nuances in the original language, the Greek in the New Testament, that we don't necessarily pick up in the English translation. Take today's passage, Acts 2, 1 through 21, the famous Pentecost text. And the first verse of that really sets the context for this coming of the Holy Spirit in like wind and fire. We read that first verse, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place." When the day of Pentecost had come. Now, in the Greek, that verb for come can be translated instead on the day that it was fulfilled completely, or Pentecost was fulfilled completely, but it can also be translated, as several Greek renderings do, filled together. On the day Pentecost was filled together. And it makes sense in some ways. Pentecost was a festival, one of the great Jewish festivals of that time, the three pilgrimage festivals, where people would gather from all over, go to Jerusalem to celebrate this holiday, in this case, a grain celebration of God providing from the harvest and of lifting up the first fruit, Shavuot, or Feast of Weeks, also what we would call today Pentecost. And so it was something that happened when the people were gathered. There was a spirit, there was a kind of experience that occurred as people were together. And so there was a sense that Pentecost itself was celebrated, was filled together. That verb in Greek that is translated as filled together or fulfilled completely also shows up, we find, in Luke's gospel. And there it's used when Jesus and the disciples are on the boat and there's a storm and the boat is getting full of water. And the verb for getting filled up completely or getting filled together is this same Greek verb that's translated here as complete or as happened or as was filled together. So in Luke, there's the sense that the boat in the midst of a storm is getting filled together with water. And then in today's passage, that same verb, there's a sense that this gathering of disciples is getting filled together during Pentecost. And just in case we miss this emphasis on together, on these people gathered, we see some other references to it. In addition to that Greek verb, sumpleroo, there is also a reference that we talk that is mentioned here about all being together, the sense of all being of one mind or of one accord. And then we hear they were in the same place or in the same, which we often translate as in the same place or location. So they are all gathered to celebrate Pentecost with a verb filled together. Then they are all together, this first verse of today's passage says. Then they are in one place. So we can't miss it. This is all about a togetherness, about a gathered people, about a people that may be many, but at this point in time are one, one celebrating Pentecost, one body, and one when the Spirit comes upon them. And this makes it clear right from the start that this isn't a story of, say, a hermit out in the desert experiencing the coming of the Holy Spirit alone. This isn't the story of someone who just climbed to the top of a mountain and she looks out on the horizon and all alone celebrates her sense of oneness with creation. This is a story of the Spirit coming on a people who are filled together. This past April, for the first time in several years, we were able to host a confirmation retreat. Here we are at First Presbyterian Church of downtown San Diego. Sunday morning, we got to worship at La Jolla Presbyterian Church. That afternoon, we went to First Pres San Diego and their downtown ministry of food, clothing, and medical service distribution. We got to participate in that. And I was reminded during this retreat, since we couldn't do it, for a number of years now, the power of being together, one place, one purpose. There is power in that. We would gather and people would share drafts of their statements of faith that you heard, and then other students would hear and say what they really thought were great about them, maybe areas that they could work on. So there was a sense that even those statements you heard read were crafted in community. That this sense of faith that filled them together. Well, for the last Sunday we were together, before we gathered with others for worship that Sunday morning, I took them out to the cliffs, which is a place I'd love to bring groups, and there I'll usually have them spread out, find a place where they can't see anyone else, and get some time alone with their Bible and a journal, and be able to have an extended time, sometimes 45 minutes or an hour, to pray and just be alone out in nature. Well, this particular time we went to this area, and it was locked shut. There was no way in. The gate was closed, and there was no way to sneak around it. So found another place close by where you could still look out over the ocean, but it was hard to be separated, you know? You could really see each other as the students sat down for this time of Bible reading and prayer. But I thought that that was a good reminder, at least to me, at that time, and particularly in the context of finally being able to gather together as a group, as a church body, out on retreat. And that is that the Spirit comes to people so often and so powerfully, not when we're alone, out looking out on the water by ourselves. It comes to us in powerful ways when we are together and looking out and seeing the students gathered where they could still see each other. There seemed something God might be telling me and others in that, that we are filled. We are filled together. For some of our group, as a result of that, I think really felt not only closer to one another, but closer to God. And here finally is a photo of the group soon after that, where they're gathered together being filled with great Mexican food. Well, last weekend I traveled to Portland, Oregon to celebrate the wedding of Knox member Carissa Dickerson to Kyle Robb, and it was in Portland, so rain constantly threatened. It was pouring rain that morning. It started to rain right before the wedding started, and then right exactly at the time the wedding was supposed to begin, it's like the clouds parted. The sun came out. And there was this lovely time of celebrating their wedding to each other. And they had held this in Portland so that some particularly older family members that were a part of their family could be able to make it. But they went to the effort to fly out your pastor so that you all could be represented there. Now, why would they go to the trouble to do that? Why would they bring me, bring you all symbolically all the way out to Portland? In fact, why even bring family? Why not just have a local official declare them man and wife? It would be simple enough, right? Some people do it that way. But Carissa and Kyle very much wanted the love they shared, the vows they made, and the whole sense of joy that this event evokes to be something that fills not just them, but fills a community, fills this church. And it's why I share it with you now, that there's a sense in a marriage that we are filled together. Families are connected, communities are connected, and that's a shared experience. We are filled with joy at a marriage, and we're certainly filled with the Spirit as a church together. Well, in Scripture, that's so often how the Spirit works, filling a body together. The pillar of fire that came to guide the people of God by night through the desert as they were on a journey as a people. You remember how God sent the Spirit to Moses and the gathered elders when they were gathered at the tent of meeting. And then on Pentecost, tongues of fire appeared, new languages were given to Christ's disciples to proclaim God's wondrous works when the people were together. They were filled together. And I love this particular rendering of that Pentecost moment by the Thai artist Sawai Chinawong. For it brings out that sense from today's passage of the Spirit coming to a people. The Holy Spirit is depicted in some ways like that pillar of fire that guided God's people through the wilderness. And you'll see it kind of has the shape in the middle of a bird or a dove descending, recalling the dove that descended on when Jesus was baptized. And then you'll see there's flames over each of the disciples' head, and I love there's a reference down in the bottom right to a little child. I love that Alexandra is here with Elise as part of the church. Children are part of the community. But the center is that fire that fills them together as a body. And I love even the background. There's a sense of a tent up near the top, and I take from that a reference perhaps to waves and how just like the disciples were filled with the storm waters during that rain when they were on a boat together, here we see the disciples filled with the Spirit, like wind and fire, when they were together, like being on the boat. So today, we celebrate the Holy Spirit's coming on a gathered body, and we've received new members into our midst, which is the work, we believe, of the Spirit. I was moved by what so many of the confirmands shared in their statements of faith about the church and how important that it is to their understanding of life in Christ. But confirmands, Will, Keaton, Reese, Katarina, Parker, Sydney, if you're watching this through the live stream, I hope you'll remember that just as this represents one small step, the church is there for you throughout all the steps to come. And the good news in this, of the Spirit filling us together, is you don't have to face the challenges of anxiety, of pressure, of new locations, of new obstacles, of all the issues of the world right now, issues of injustice, issues of isolation, issues that you are acutely aware of. You don't have to face that alone. You can face that not only with the power of God at work in you, but with a community that's waiting for you wherever you go. So I'm thrilled that you all are uniting with this church in this step today. But a big decision will come when you head out to school, or when you take your first job, or when you get married, like Carissa and Kyle just did. Or when you head out on some new adventure, perhaps to another country, and there you will wonder, what do I want to get connected with? Where do I put my time and energy? Who will be my peeps? And I hope that you will keep the church in mind, waiting to have others in the boat with you. Now, there will be times when you head to a new place, let's say the church in your college town, and you'll say, man, this boat's got issues. This boat's got problems. This boat has leaks all over the place. People there might be too old, too young. You might not like the vibe. There might be all sorts of reasons that you say, this is not the boat for me. And it's fine if you do discernment, figure out what's the right Christian community for you. But I hope you won't let it keep you from connecting with the right community, discerning that, persevering, and then getting to be part of a church's change, of a church's transformation. Because there may be a church, this church, right now, is waiting for you to bring about the change the Spirit is inviting us into. Eager to hear your voices, eager to have you be a part of that journey with us, and so many congregations, church communities are just waiting for you to be a part of it. And then you will know, through those connections, you don't have to face the challenges of life alone, for you are not alone. God's with you, and so is a community of faith. And please, everyone, know that as well. When you go forth from here, you are united in spirit, a spirit that comes to us together and goes with us as each of us, one part of that greater body we call the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for the Spirit that unites us, the Spirit that moves within us, the Spirit that directs us out to love, to justice, to service, to caring. Pray that we would attend to that Spirit. We would hear your voice speaking in young and old, and we would follow where you lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.